1 Samuel chapter number 24 and verse 1. And now here is a man that I believe could sing that song better than anyone alive, and that's David, because he did hold on. He held on when he was attacked by his father-in-law, Saul. He held on when he was attacked by his son, Absalom. He held on when he was attacked by those who were near and dear to his heart. But he still held on to God's promises and won the victory. Look, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 24, verse 1, once you get there, let's all stand, we'll read, we'll pray, and ask the Master for his help on this glorious Sunday morning. 1 Samuel 24 and verse number 1, we're continuing our King David series. The Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 24 of 1 Samuel, and it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, there was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of, I practice this word all day, Engedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord saith unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. We'll stop there. We're going to talk this morning, this little thought. David's mercy, not meanness. David's mercy, not meanness. Father, I pray today for your help. I pray, God, that you show us mercy. Show us, Lord, as we read these scriptures, the mercy that David gave to Saul. But also, God, as an example of the mercy that we have to give to others as well. I pray, God, that you reveal this truth to us, not just with our mind, but God, let it seep down into our hearts. And then, God, be revealed in our actions. I pray, God, that you help us to realize that we are all on this battle, Father. We're all in this war against Satan, against the demons of hell, and against our own flesh. And God, help us to realize that many times a person needs some mercy. Father, I pray, God, for your divine help. And I pray, God, to help me to preach the Word of God. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Guide my speech, my actions, all that I say that I do. And for that, Father, I'll thank you. But God, help every soul that's here and those who tune in to watch on the internet. God, help us. There's one here that's not saved, blood-bought, born again, redeemed. They're not a child of the King. But I pray, God, this be that day, that their birth into your precious family. Oh, yeah, and we'll definitely shout hallelujah. We love you. That's it for now. For your son's name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. May be seated. David's mercy, not meanness. A lot of times, we want mercy extended to us. But oftentimes, we won't give out mercy. Instead, we'll be mean to somebody else that's out to hurt us or to harm us. But the Bible tells us, hold your place here, but look what the Bible says in Proverbs 3 and verse 3. Look at Proverbs 3 and look at verse number 3. Look what the Bible says about mercy. Proverbs 3 and verse number 3. The Bible says, let not mercy and truth, what? Forsake thee. The Bible says, instead, bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. In other words, my friends, we need to have mercy and truth in our lives. The Bible says to bind them around your neck and let it be in your heart. Let me give you another verse. Look at Proverbs 11 and verse number 17. Proverbs 11 and verse number 17. The Bible says, the Word of God says in Proverbs 11:17, the merciful man, doeth good to his own where? Soul. But he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. My dear friends, when you and I extend mercy, the Bible says that we're doing good to our own soul. But now realize, now mercy is not given to me from me. It's extended to somebody else. But it affects my own soul. So that tells me, if I don't give out mercy, if I don't extend mercy, then you know what's going to probably happen? It ain't going to be good for my own soul. The Bible says, but a cruel troubleth his own flesh. But wait a minute. They hurt me. They wounded me. They're after me. I know. But look at the example that God gives us with David. Look back in 1 Samuel 24 and verse 1. Here is a man, Saul, who was not trying to just beat David up. He wants him dead. Yeah. He wants to kill David. He has thrown spears at David. He has had men to go and seek to bring David to him to be killed. And David has escaped time and time and time again. And now we're going to see that David has an opportunity to end this whole mess. Kill Saul, that takes care of everything. He got to worry about Saul chasing him no more. The first thing we see is Saul's continuation. If you remember, Saul had to stop following David because the Philistines in verse 28 of chapter 23 had begun to attack the people of God. And he had to leave off attacking David to go fight the real battle. But now, the Bible says, it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines that was told him, saying, hey, behold, David is in the wilderness of it's around there. Amen. I did practice that, y'all. I promise you. But the Bible says he's in this wilderness. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek, to desire, to strive, to get a hold of David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. He says, oh yeah, we know where he's at. It's time to get him. But now watch this. The Bible says, and he came to the sheepcotes, which is an enclosure for flocks, by the way, where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover him his feet. Here you have Saul continuing to come after David, and on this way to trying to get a hold of David, he has to stop in a cave. Now, the word terminology here, which says cover his feet, is referring to him having to stop, and believe it or not, he had to use the bathroom. Yeah. Check it out. Check out the wording there. Look it up in your strong. He had to go to the restroom. By the way, you know what? There are times you got to go. And this is one of them times when Saul had to go. And he had to follow some instructions that God had given to the people of God about how to go. Say what? Yeah. Hey, this is what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 23. Deuteronomy 23. You got to remember now, they didn't have no facilities like we got today. No, we go back in the back and go to the bathroom and that's it. Amen. But watch what it says here in Deuteronomy 23 and verse 11. So, preacher, why are you telling me all this? Because I'm setting the stage on what David's about to do. And look what it says in Deuteronomy 23 and verse number 11. The Bible says this in verse 11 of Deuteronomy chapter 23. But it shall be when evening cometh on, he shall wash himself with water. And when the sun is down, he shall come into the camp again. Thou shalt have a place also, listen now, without the camp, where thou shalt go forth abroad. And thou shalt have a paddle, which is like a stake or a pin, upon thy weapon, and they shall be when thou wilt ease thyself abroad. Okay? That word ease thyself means to relieve yourself. Thou shalt dig therewith, and shall turn back and cover that which cometh from thee. For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp, to deliver thee and give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore, shall thy camp be what?
Holy.
That he see no unclean thing in thee and turn away from thee. In other words, once you have relieved yourself or gone to the bathroom, you were to cut, they had a hole they would dig and cover it up. It's almost like we're supposed to do when we're walking our dog today. When you walk your dog, you're supposed to have a what do you call them things? A scooper, bag, or whatever. Not just let it just, you know, some folks are like, well, I don't need no bag. It's the earth and the Lord made it and blah, blah, blah. Listen, you step in that and you'd be like, whoo, whoo, amen. But nonetheless, and he talks about that being unclean and how God is holy. So in other words, now go back with me or forward with me to 1 Samuel. Here you have Saul. He went in to cover his feet, and you look that all up, and it talks about him having to relieve himself. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. So here you have Saul. He has to go use the restroom. He finds the cave. He goes in by himself, and you would assume his men have checked the cave out. Don't say they checked it out, but they should have. He goes in the cave, but now here's David and his men. They're on the side of the wall. Now remember, a cave is dark. They don't have no light switch that they turn on. So he goes inside the cave. Now watch this. Now secondly, we see David is tempted. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thy hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee, is here. Then David arose and cut off the skirt or the border of Saul's robe privily or secretly. Because he probably laid down his robe, my friends, in order to use the restroom. While it is over here, David comes by and cuts off the border, the edges of his skirt or his robe. Now that signifies several things. One thing could signify is a tearing away of the kingdom from Saul and passing on now to David. But now watch what happens. His men are saying, David, he's in your hand. You can take him out. Watch what the Bible says in verse number 5. We move now from being tempted. Matter of fact, pause here for a second. Go to Psalm 54, verse 1. Now remember, David had prayed a prayer about this whole situation. Remember that from last time. Look, the Bible says in Psalm 54 and verse number 1. The Bible says this. David prayed this prayer. If you look in the first part, it says, to the chief musician of Niganoth, Mishael, a son of David, when the Ziphims came and said to Saul, doth not David hide himself with us? He says, save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Watch what he says. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. And he begins to talk about how he wants deliverance and rescue from his enemy, which is Saul. So his men are saying, hey, Dave, your prayers have been answered. Now let's fast forward it to 2016. You've been praying about a situation on your job. Some folks, some employees been acting up, or perhaps your supervisor, your boss, they've been after you. They've been like they're trying to get you fired. And you've been praying that God would take care of the situation. And then all of a sudden, you've got an opportunity to cause them to lose their job. And then something comes in your ear and says, ooh, look what God has done. God set this whole thing up for you. All you got to do is do this. Ain't God good? God's going to let you. Because you know how some, not us. We're not some folks pray. They're like, Lord, get them. And use me to get them back for you. But use me to take care of the situation. And here he's being tempted to slay Saul. Not using his own prayer. David, God's answered your prayer. Now watch this. But David has a conscience. Verse 5. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off not Saul's head, but his skirt. And the Bible says, he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David, the Bible says, stayed his servants with these words and suffered them, did not permit them to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of a cave and went on his way. His men wanted to slay Saul because Saul wanted to kill them. 3,000. Remember, how many did David have? How many of y'all remember? How many did David have? Anybody remember? 600. 600 against 3,000. That's going to look good. Okay? And now here's Saul all by himself in the cave. And they've got an opportunity to slay him. And David says, man, just by me cutting off the border of his robe, that wasn't right. That is God's anointed. He's the king. But wait a minute, David! He's a wicked king. David, he's trying to kill you without cause. David, he was trying to kill his own son. But David said, I ain't going to touch him. I ain't going to touch him. You know what David was practicing? He was practicing a New Testament principle as well as an Old Testament principle. Look what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 17. This is straight from the Bible. Straight from the Word of God. The Bible says it's in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. Now we believe the whole Bible, don't we?
Amen.
Amen. Got 8 of y'all. This is what it says here. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 17. 1 Peter 2 verse 17. The Bible says this. Honor some men.
I'm sorry.
Honor all men. Love the brethren. Fear God. This gonna sting. This gonna hurt somebody. Don't say out loud though. Honor who?
The king.
The word king there means those who are in authority. My dear friends, if you have a wicked supervisor, the Bible says honor them. If you got a wicked person over your company, the Bible says honor them. Right now, my dear friends, our country is in an uproar because Trump has won the election, and the Bible says still to honor the king. Honor those who are in authority, not to disrespect, but to respect. But they don't deserve it. Saul did. Saul tried to kill David. If anybody deserved death, it was Saul. And by the way, my friends, the Bible tells us the words here, which says honor all men, that's an imperative. Love the brethren is to do continuously. The word fear God, that's a present imperative, which is a command to do something continuously. And the word honor the king is a present imperative, which means continuously. He commands us to honor the king. In another verse, he says to pray for them. And by the way, if you and I are blood-bought, born again, redeemed, and we don't follow the command, we're being what? Disobedient. What's that called? Don't be afraid. It's called sin. I know we don't want to hear that, but that's Bible, friends. And you see David practicing that very principle, my friend. He's practicing it. And that's the same thing that's been commanded to us as the children of a living God. So, I don't like my boss, man. You don't know. Man, he foul mouth. He comes in the job cussing and fussing, throwing stuff. Listen, the Bible says honor. Your parents? Oh, preacher. Some of these parents, drug addicts, thieves. The Bible didn't say help them steal. The Bible said honor them. My dear friends, you're to honor your mother and your father. The Bible tells us that. It teaches us that. And you see David practicing that very principle. And that's the same principle that you and I are supposed to practice. It's from the Word of God. And I don't know about y'all. I don't like getting whippings. They hurt. You know, I mean, at some point, they don't mind getting them. They'd be like, whip me. Not me. I'd be like, I'm like Isaiah. When Isaiah was growing up, man, all I had to do was just to touch my belt. And Isaiah go, okay. DJ would go, wow! Oh! Christian, of course, she's standing there. best shot. You know what I mean? But nonetheless, listen, my dear friends. David says, wait a minute. What I have done to Saul is not right. This, I don't know if y'all get this picture. Saul wants to kill him. Not beat him up. Kill him. Take his life. And he says, don't touch him, guys. Don't touch him. Flip back over to 1 Samuel 24. David had a conscience. And then we see David revealing himself. The Bible says in verse number 7, so David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. He had no idea. David also rose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, my Lord, the king. I don't know if y'all getting this, man. Saul has 3,000 men out there to kill David. He don't go up and say, you scoundrel. He says, my Lord, the king. And then watch me. This is going to get sweaty. Listen to what he does next. The Bible says when Saul looked behind him, the Bible says that David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. He gets down. Oh, y'all ain't getting this, man. If it's me, I'm like, okay, one thing, not killing him. But now you, I'm going to get down like this on my face. Because they're showing arms at the king. He's getting down like, David, man, come on, David. Oh, the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. You start seeing it now. You start seeing it, my friend. Do you know that God had every right to send us to hell? But instead he gave his son on the cross to die for us so that we don't have to go? That's called mercy. Amen. How many times since you and I have been saved, when we've done evil, we've done wrong, we've been ugly, we've been unkind, we've been mean, and that God gives us mercy. Amen. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah. Amen. That make you want to serve him, amen. Because God killed us. But he didn't. I start thinking about stuff I've done in my life. Woo, my soul. But God didn't kill me. I think about being a teenager, 15, 16 years old, down there at the church, singing in the choir as high as a kite. Been smoking dope, singing in the choir. And God had every right, Sister Bobby, to come in that choir and to strike me dead as I sung songs to lift up his name. Yeah. Mercy. Not getting what I deserved. But instead of that, and David, he bows himself. And David said to Saul, wherefore hearest thou men's words? You listen to the wrong folks, king. Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. That's what they've been telling you. But David wants to hurt you. I want to hurt you. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how the Lord have delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave. And some bade me kill thee. They said, kill you. Oh, but mine eye spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father. I want you to see this. The skirt of thy robe in my hand. I'm not lying to you. I could have killed you. It's in my hand. He goes on to say this. He says, it's in my hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not, know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in mine hand. I have not sinned against thee. Yet, Saul, your hunters for soul, take it. You want to kill me. But I'm to kill you? How many folks have tried to hurt you? How many folks have lied on you? How many folks have attacked your character? How many folks, my dear friends, have attacked your reputation? How many? And it was not true. And you hadn't tried to hurt nobody. And they said all kinds of things. David, man, I'm innocent. I am not guilty. If it was true, I could have killed you. But I didn't. What he goes on to say. David goes on to say in the next verse. He says in verse 12, the Lord, Jehovah God, judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee. He'll punish you, not me, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. I won't touch you. That's big time, y'all. Because you know us. I just say us. Amen. Yeah. We're like, I'm going to touch him. I'm going to let me go. I'm going to touch him. I'm going to anoint him with my hands. Amen. I'm going to choke the life out of somebody. I'm going to slap somebody. I'm going to punch somebody. Because you know what? They lied on me. They talked about me. They run my name in the mud. And they said all this stuff. And hey, somebody's got to pay. But David said, it won't be me. Let the Lord handle it. I love my pastor. That's what he taught us. He says, the Lord got your back. He said, don't try to go around trying to put fires out all over the place. You'll spend more time trying to tell people, I didn't. And guess what? Not getting nothing done for the Lord.
Yeah.
Trying to put fires out.
Yeah.
Instead, the Lord, it'll all come out. The truth will come out. David said, man, I'm like, listen to verse 13. As saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceeded from what? The wicked. But mine hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog. After a flea. Now, I don't know the depths of that. I know a dead dog can't hurt you. I know a flea can drive you crazy, can bite you to pieces. But even that flea is tiny. If you can grab a hold of him, watch him. They said, man, I'm not even worth you chasing after this. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not going to do it. You are seeing David extending mercy and not meanness, because he could have taken his life. I almost titled his message, Mercy and Not Murder. Because if he had taken his life in that cave and Saul was not attacking him, it would have been murder. Okay? But my dear friends, David says no. No. And watch this. We next see Saul's seemingly remorse. David goes on to say, Lord, therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause, and deliver thee out of thy hand. I'm going to let him be the judge. He'll be my lawyer. He'll defend me. Watch this. And it came to pass. I don't know about y'all. I feel kind of bad for Saul. I really do. I'm going to show you why. And it came to pass, when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. We're now seeing Saul's seemingly remorse. And I'm using the word seemingly because you know what's going to happen down the road. But right now, he says, David, is that my son? And he weeps. Because if you remember, in the beginning of Saul's life, man, he's all right. When they're about to make him king, what was he doing? Hiding. He didn't want to be king. He comes out there, my dear friends, in the beginning, he was fighting for people, was doing what was right. But then, my friends, somewhere along the line, matter of fact, God's hand was on him, and God had dealt with his heart. But somewhere along the line, my friends, he got off track, and instead of owning up to his sin, he was running on other folks. An evil spirit now comes upon Saul. To me, you see Saul all confused. You ever been there? I mean, one minute, you're doing all right. The next minute, it's like, man, my mind is just, it's messed up. And Saul says this. Saul says in verse 16, he says, "Is this thy voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice, the Bible says, and he wept. And he said to David, "Thou art more righteous than I am, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I rewarded thee evil." Whew. It seemed like he's convicted. I mean, and sometimes, listen, if you've been trying to help anybody in any length of time, there are times when they are so remorseful and they regret the things they've done. Listen, man, I don't know why I keep doing them drugs. I don't want to stop. I never forget one of my cousins. I came to live with us. We lived in Georgia. I never forget. I didn't see where he was at. He was gone, and I was looking for him, and I found him down there by the pool, and he was just leaning over the rail, just looking over there, over the water there. And I came up behind him. And I said, "Hey, what's going on, cuz?" And he had tears coming out of his face. He said, "Man, I just can't stop. I don't want to. I don't want to." He was just by himself, just weeping. He didn't want to continue doing the drugs he was doing. But it was like he was in a battle. He was in a dogfight. And sometimes he'd do good. And then sometimes he would fall. And then he'd do good. And then he'd fall. And then he'd do good. And then he'd fall. And they'll forget. He was in Chicago. They was having like a little memorial for those that passed away in the hospital. My grandmother had just passed away. And so we was all there after church on Sunday. And we was there. All of a sudden, I got a call on my phone. And they said they had found my cousin. And he was dead. And we all went over to the house. The paramedics hadn't even got there yet. And he had taken a shower. He had sat on the side of the bed like this. Had his robe on. And he laid back. That towel, he laid back, and that's how he died. I've been walking that room, me and by my cousins, his wife, his children, people crying. I remember us just holding hands, and I led us in a word of prayer. And then finally the paramedics got there, and because it was on a Sunday, a lot of my relatives go to church, and so a lot of them had came over there to that block, and I mean, the block was filled with friends and relatives and folks that was from the church. And I never forget that when they finally brought my cousin out, because he'd been laying there so long, and rigor mortis had set in, and they had put him on that stretcher. You could see his knees up, and as they came out, it was like they knew it was about to happen, and they didn't come out slowly. They came running out there to the ambulance to put him in there, and it was like somebody had taken a bomb and had just threw it out there amongst all the people, because people were just laid out all over the place, and people were screaming. His daughters were screaming. His wife was screaming, and the other folks were screaming and crying, but they took him away. Now, think about that. Made me think about when I saw something. I saw it made me think about that, because it was like he didn't want to, and he was bowing it. He didn't want to, and he was bowing it. And he would do good, and he'd get a good job, and he'd make good money, and then he'd find himself going right back to it. And at 42 years old, he died. When I look at Saul, and Saul says in this verse 17, he says to David, "Thou art more righteous than I. For thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And thou hast showed this day how that thou hast dealt well with me. For as much as when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killest me not, you didn't kill me." Look what he says. "For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good, for thou hast done unto me this day." Wow. Then the Bible says in verse number 20, we see that Saul not only, now Saul's seemingly remorse, but now we see Saul's recognition in verse 20. And he says, "Now behold," he says, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. And then he does something. Saul has a request. And Saul says, swear now therefore unto me by the Lord that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house. And then we see David's response. David swear unto Saul. And the Bible says that Saul went home. But David and his men gat them up unto the hole. For a moment, it's like Saul's like, man, this is like messed up. I'm trying to kill you, Dave. And you're not trying to kill me. You're letting me escape. Instead of killing me, you're showing me mercy. He says, God reward him. God bless him. He says, you know what? I know you got the kingdom. I know you got the kingdom. And he goes home. Man, I wish the story would end there. But it doesn't. Because Saul's still battling. And he's going to come again after David. And sometimes, my dear friends, when you and I extend mercy to someone who's trying to hurt us, who's trying to wound us, and they may be truly at that moment repentive, they may be truly at that moment remorseful, regretting, and sincerely walk away. But then they might come back again. What was David going to do next time? Well, I think we kind of see David's heart already. Yeah. He's going to have mercy again. My friends, David did get the kingdom. But he didn't get the kingdom because he killed somebody that was trying to kill him. Who are you trying to say now, preacher? Maybe God's told you, I'm going to bless you. But there's some folks that are trying to hinder your blessing. And you might have an opportunity to remove them out of your equation. But it ain't of God. God said, don't touch them. I'll handle that. You just do what you're supposed to do. I've got two questions with that. The first question is this. Simple question. How would we respond at this moment in David's shoes? How will we respond at this moment in David's shoes? Secondly, do we want revenge? Somebody hurt you, man, big time. Do we want revenge? And the last is a simple statement. Let's ask God to give us a merciful spirit. A merciful spirit. Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings. I thank you, Lord, for your precious word. It's awesome. It's life-changing. It's eye-opening. And God, perhaps some of my fellow brothers and sisters that are here today, maybe they need to talk to you about some of these matters or perhaps something totally different. It has nothing to do with this message whatsoever. But God, there's some other things that you've been speaking to their hearts about today. I wonder if they come to the altars and talk to you. If they can't kneel, perhaps stand. But nevertheless, talk to you. Pray. Listen as you speak to their hearts. God, help each of us to have more mercy. There's so much I could have mentioned more about mercy because the Bible talks so much about it. But I pray, God, just these little things will help us to realize that we need to have more mercy and not more meanness. And for that, Father, we'll thank you. I pray, God, for that person that's struggling with some issue that only you can see.